Hi, everyone, and welcome to another Mystery School Edition. I'm Jacob Cox, your host, and tonight's episode is about synchronicity. So I hope you guys are excited about that as I am. Something I'm definitely experiencing more often now and been experiencing for a while. And I want to share that magical gift with all of you because I feel like the world is going to be a whole lot better place if more people are experiencing synchronicities in their lives. It has to be because it's such a cool thing and it's such a fun thing to feel a part of that you're not alone in this universe, that the universe, that God, angels, spirit guides, your ancestors, grandparents, and they're all with you and they're all cheering you on to wake up and they want to connect. They want to help you out as much as possible. We have to let them in. We have to allow them to help us out. And we have to realize we're not doing this thing all by ourselves. We're not alone. And by speaking to them, praying with them, asking the universe to show us those signs and breadcrumbs, we definitely will have more synchronicity. So let's go ahead and get started with our topic tonight. The word synchronicity comes from the word sync in Chronos. So sync means union or time. Sync means union or like together. And Chronos means time. So synchronicity is union of two things happening together at the same time. Funny enough, the word coincidence literally means coincidence, various incidences happening together. Although when people say that word, it just means that things happen together. Random things just happen together for no reason. That's just how things happen. I think that's obviously a naive way to think about it, and that things are just randomly happening. But people do. They think the universe is just randomly exploding and things are just falling in line together. But it just doesn't really happen that way. There is an order to everything. There is a blueprint. There is Fibonacci sequences and golden ratios. And so there's literally blueprints to how creation works. The toroidal field that goes around our body, around the earth, how stars move through the galaxy. There are obvious patterns and stuff that happens. So we know things aren't random. We know that there is design in the universe. There's design in our bodies, that everything has this golden ratio and the spiral of life in it. So it's, you know, it does seem a little naive to think in coincidences, but honestly, if we start to look at it and pay attention and listen to those little nudges, we're going to know 100% that the universe is speaking to us. Albert Einstein said, the coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. And I love that because I think most people want God to come talk to you in like your own language and your own voice, sit down in front of you and feel like you're going to have a conversation with them. Then I know God exists because I saw that being and I talked to them and there's no doubt in my mind. But like, to me, that's almost boring. You know what I mean? Like, I like the mystery. I love the fact that it's hidden in these events and people and situations and circumstances. And it's just the way, it's kind of almost like the universe just winking at you, you know, winking at us and just nudging at us to wake up. And if you don't listen to those nudges, eventually they turn into sledgehammer blows from the universe, which can be hard. But at the end of the day, they are for your growth as well. In fact, oftentimes when you get those sledgehammer blows, you know, from relationship ending or a job ending, getting fired or something, and you think it's the end of the world, you know, how many people look back and say, man, that was like the best thing that ever happened to me. To get out of that environment, to move on to the next thing, I wouldn't have done it had I not got fired. You know, I would have suffered with that same person for a long time had they not ended it on me. And although I was super sad, and at the time, man, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I've had a few of those situations happen for myself as too, so I can verify that. But I love that it is that he said that coincidence is God's way of being anonymous. I think the mystery is really honestly one of the greatest things that we can experience in this life. It's so fun. It's so sneaky. And you feel like you're part of some club, you know, really honestly. And I think that's why secret societies are, they try to remain so secret. It's kind of fun to have this thing that other people don't know about. But We want other people to know about this. We want other people to understand synchronicity and how to follow them. So, you know, to me, I want to share this thing and not be like a secret club. I want everybody to know about it. So the difference then is discovering that it does have meaning. You know, synchronicity and these coincidences have meaning, and they mean something to us. And they can mean a lot to us and help us with our growth. So they're obviously happening all the time. And we are aware, and if we're aware enough to see them and put them together and understand the universe is communicating with us. So I think a lot of times the synchronicities are happening, but we're so unaware, we're so stressed out, we're so into our egos about what we look like and who's going to be at this place and are they going to notice I'm wearing the same shirt as yesterday and whatever it is. We're missing out on this magical underlying of the reality that other people are experiencing, but we're not, because we're not aware of it. We're not seeing it. And so, you know, that's why people do think it's just coincidence. Like, what else could it be other than just two things happening or something that happened like almost the same way or the same word or whatever? People are so unaware that they are connected to the universe, that God and the universe are one, and that they don't even get it. They don't even see there or think that somebody could be talking to me or universe could be communicating with me. So just do a little history before we talk about the good stuff. But obviously, the godfather of synchronicity in modern times is Carl Jung. I love it, CJ. There's so many things about this guy in particular that I love. I think, honestly, it's probably the reason why I have a psychology major to begin with. Just as far as like going to school in general, there's a lot of things that I tried in college and everything else that didn't pan out for me, that I wasn't really excited about. And, you know, hearing about Carl Jung, I actually got into psychology and took intro to psychology. And that's when I heard one of the first things that was said was, that the teacher said was, you know, jealousy is something that you put into somebody else's brain based on what you would do and what you think. And I was like, oh my God, it's probably one of the smartest things I've heard since I've been going to any schools or any classes. So I stuck with that. And I was like, I've always had a big love for knowledge, why people think the way they think, why we think the way we think, why they're thinking the what they think. And I've just really been really in love with Carl Jung for a long time. And like I said, so he's probably the reason why I really even did psychology major in high school and college. So, but anyways, about 100 years ago, he brought this understanding back to us. So I don't think it's something that he discovered. I don't think he has the rights to it or can put a patent on it. He's just rediscovering something that we already know about, something that other people have talked about and written books about. And this guy, you know, gave us that rediscovery back and say, hey guys, I want to bring this subject back to us. And I love him for that. And he said about synchronicity that it is an ever-present reality for those who have eyes to see. And that, even when I read that quote over again here recently in the past couple of weeks, I was like, the first thing that made me think of is, you know, I feel like Jesus talking to me, and Jesus is telling all his parables, and he says, he who has ears, let him hear. Who he has eyes, let him see, you know? And it's like, even if we have eyes, we don't really see what's going on. Even if we have ears, we don't really hear what people are saying sometimes and the depth of what people are saying. And it makes so much sense that synchronicity is everywhere. It is ever present. It's everywhere that we look. It's all happening to us all the time, but we're not seeing it. And we're not realizing why these seemingly positive or negative things are happening to us. And if we could only see it and realize it and start to understand, why are these things coming to me? Why is it that the same person keeps coming to me, or the same idea keeps coming to me? And instead of saying, maybe someone is trying to show me something, if we can ever just get ourselves out of the way and say, you know, I'm going to go check this out. I'm going to go down that road. I'm going to check out that book or those symbols or whatever. Something really incredible beyond that door that could change your life and open up a reality that you didn't even know existed. So I dare you guys to go deeper and to look. And one of the My favorite things that he said in an interview in his life, later in life, Carl Jung was asked, when you were a kid, did you believe in God? And immediately he said, oh, yes. And then the interviewer asked him, does he believe in God now? And he stopped and he hesitated and he thought for a second. And he said, that's a difficult question. And I thought, you know, when I was first watching that, I was like, what are you talking about? You just said yes as a kid. And then he says, I know, you know, he's like Swiss. I know God exists now. And that's so incredible. Like, I don't believe God exists. I know God exists because it talks to me, because it gives me the breadcrumbs. It gives me signs. It gives me understanding and a path that I can now follow because I'm aware enough to say, oh my God, the universe does love me. God does love me. He cares about me. It didn't just throw me out here to the wolves and to the world without any knowledge or wisdom or understanding. It's got my back the whole time. It's had my back the whole time. The whole time I've been here. And I just didn't even see it. I didn't even know it. Reminds you of that quote when it said, you know, the footprints quote with Jesus or whatever. And it says, you know, I saw your footprints walking next to mine. And it says, well, what happened when there was only one pair of footprints? And Christ said, that's when I carried you. You know, that's when I was with you and you weren't even there. Like, man, God's always with us, man. Christ, Buddha, Krishna, whatever you want to call it, the universe, it's always with you. It never is going to leave us all, ever. We're never alone. And so I feel like that makes me feel so much hope. That's why synchronicity is such a beautiful thing to share. It changes your life and lets you know how important you really are. And maybe you don't even really ever realize how important you really are. But I know that I'm loved beyond probably my wildest dreams, more than I can imagine. But I think that's cool. He said, I don't believe that God exists. Now I know that God exists. So that was our history. So now to the science of this thing, of synchronicity. Is there science behind it? I think absolutely 100% yes. Quantum physics, non-locality. Non-locality is basically that particles can influence each other without apparently being connected. Meaning what happens over here affects this particle over here, and we don't even know why. But we know that it works, and we know that it's true. We know that it's something that can be studied over and over again. And quantum entanglement, that two particles being entangled, the state of one instantaneously influences the state of the other. No matter the distance, faster than the speed of light, cosmic harmony transcends space and time. So when two particles become entangled together, and I feel like this is like you and me, it's relationships that you had, it's friends that you made, it's enemies that you had too. And once you guys are bound by some kind of cosmic law, some kind of etherical cords, I feel like there are people that I dated decades ago that if they become sad enough, if something happens to them bad enough that I can feel it. I don't know if you guys ever had that feeling, but like, so-and-so sad, I need to call him. I need to talk to him. There's something going on and something has happened. And it really, and it, you were right. I do believe that once we become entangled with, you know, people, that's when we can have telepathy with them easier. We can feel their feelings. Sometimes we can feel, you know, feel their thoughts. And so, and that's literally simultaneously, you know, it's not something that takes time to get there. This thing, it's saying that quantum entanglement is literally faster than the speed of light, that somehow really everything is all connected. So it's crazy to think that these, our Western science today, that is basically saying the same thing as these Eastern religions, these Eastern philosophies. And that if we just learned how to marry these things together, you know, like, almost like we marry our left and our right brains together, and then we have a deeper understanding of why these things happen and how can I understand them better for my growth and your growth and our growth. If we can see these things, why they're playing out, we can understand some order to our life. And I feel like that in itself has to give you some peace, has to give you, not necessarily that fate is what's going on, like everything's pre-planned out. Maybe if you don't wake up, that everything is fate. But to me, if you wake up in your life, then you become the creator of all of it. So to me, it's not like everything is then at that point going to be planned out and ready to go and done. I think that is possible almost for, you know, people who don't wake up. But when we wake up, game over, man. We take control of this reality. We take control of our experience and everything that's going on in it. So synchronicity can be fun little nudges, or it can be those sledgehammer blows that I was telling you about. But both are for your growth. You know, it can be little nice little fun little things that happen to you, understandings, feelings, thoughts, or it could be really big things, you know, relationship breakups or getting fired from that job, like I was saying earlier. Those things seem to be hard. And most people, when they talk about synchronicity, they don't want to say, you know, these negative things were synchronicity. But to me, realizing that I could be in heaven on earth came from the fact that I was living hell on earth. And that if I was powerful enough to create my own hell, and I had to be responsible for that, like I'm living in Atlanta, I'm dating the same person over and over and over again. I'm not happy. I feel miserable. I don't feel like I'm doing enough. If I can, and I'm depressed, you know, I'm super depressed. If I'm powerful and I'm praying in my apartment at one night, I'm like, and this is the message I got. If I'm powerful enough to create this hell that I'm in, this misery that I'm in, that I must be responsible for, then therefore I must be powerful enough to create heaven on earth too. That must be something that's here and now, because I realized at that moment, even if I went to heaven and I was that depressed and I was that angry and I was that incomplete, how could I even ever experience it? How could I walk streets of gold and be happy in this beautiful place? Because I'm in the world now, and the world's beautiful, and there's beautiful people, and there's beautiful things to go do. And I'm miserable already. So just because you turn up the channel a little bit doesn't mean I'm going to be any happier. I'm still miserable in here. But once I realize that, okay, I am powerful enough to create this, then it's like, oh, man, game over. Well, why not stop doing the things you're doing and start changing yourself and be a better person? And then, you know, hopefully then you take responsibility for all this. Nobody else is responsible for misery, just me. Once I do that, man, bam, game over. I'm going to win, win, win. I'm going to have fun and love it, you know? And that's exactly what happened for me, at least not right away, but it took practice and it took, you know, real dedication to changing my life. And I mean, we'll talk more about it later, but I can't believe how much more harmonious my life seems now than it did, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. So so synchronicity to me is like a universal language that can apply to everyone. So it's like God doesn't need to sit down in every language and talk to every single person. No, it's this universal language of events, circumstances, ideas, symbols, archetypes that come into your life that would happen everywhere. And it's also like not just the universe, but when I say the universe, I mean everything that's in it too. So like your guides, your angels. And I think they want to engage with us. They want to help us. But we are so in our minds and so in our own thoughts that we forget, hey, you know, grandma, grandpa, the spirit guides, angels, ancestors, help me out on this. Give me some guidance. Give me some breadcrumbs. Help me see the things I'm not seeing. You know, we need to invite them in and ask them to show us the way so they can have more involvement. Because I do feel like sometimes I forget myself, but when I go back and say, you know what, grandma and grandpa, ancestors, like, help me out on this one. Show me a sign. Give me something, you know, give me that peace and understanding that I need so that I'm not so stressed out about this thing. I'm not worried about the situation. I know you guys got my back. I know that the universe has some plan better than I can possibly imagine. And it always does. So I think the problem with most of us, maybe not even most, many of us, we'll say many of us, is that we think there's no way God's speaking to me, that the universe isn't speaking to me. We've been programmed from the get-go to think that because we don't have $1 million and we don't play basketball or baseball or football or something, and we're not on TV, we're not as important as somebody else. So why the heck would the universe talk to me? Why would God want to talk to me? But I'm going to ask you guys right now, why not you? Why did you take Moses with a speech impediment and help him, you know, free the people? You know, why does God pick certain people? You know, it's because some people are ready. Some people are listening. Some people are dare to know who they really are and are ready for that. And some people just don't believe in themselves. And that's all, I think that's the only difference. We're all made of the same stuff. We got the same brains and the same hearts. Some people just learn to use them more and learn to listen to those little nudges, listen to that inner voice and that guidance. And when you start listening to that little voice, it becomes a big voice and it becomes much more clear. And it's just like practicing anything, practicing yoga, working out, whatever. You get better at it as you do it. And it gets to be easier and easier, so you don't have to second guess it. So this is the underlying order of the universe that subscribes to no religion, but it's universal law. So no matter what planet we live on, the same circumstances, events, situations, and archetypes are going to come into your life. You can't move to another state or move to another country or try to date somebody else. The same things are going to persist no matter where you go, no matter who you date, no matter what job you get into. I've had people listen to people talk and say, man, this happened at this job again. It's happened at this job. I got this job. And they're the same thing. Same kind of people are looking down on me. And that's like, dude, it doesn't matter what job you get. You're going to have the same situation happen. It's you. It's not them. And if you can realize that the universe is the mirror for you to realize that if you steal, you're going to be stolen from. If you hurt people, you're going to be hurt. If you lie, you're going to be lied to, because you have to be. What you put out is what you get back. If you smile, the mirror has no option but to smile back. If you're angry in it and you look mad, that mirror is going to look mad at you. You know, if you take from it, it's going to take from you. It has to. That's how it works. And that's how you wake up and realize what I've done to the mirror, to the universe, is what's happened to me. And that's that toroidal field. What I put out is what I get back, plain and simple. So, you know, if we really start to realize that what we are putting back is what we're getting back, what we are putting out is what we're getting back, man, it really can change your life and game over. Like, what we're going to experience, what's going to come to us, how life is going to be, how people are going to listen to me, you know, and how we love ourselves is the direct line that we show people. How you treat me, how I treat myself, how I have respect for myself, how I have discipline. You know, that's what's going to show people, oh, wow, this guy, you know, he's got it together. He has his discipline. He has self-respect. And if I don't respect him, he's not going to talk to me. It's not, woe is me. Everyone should talk to me a certain way. And they're going to talk to you the way you talk to yourself. If you bully yourself, people are going to bully you. So these are universal laws, I believe, that we're talking about, that many people will talk about, and you hear in the Bible and Hermeticism and different and Buddhists. And it's throughout history, we find these same things back and forth. So when we start to understand there are laws and how we interact with the universe is how it interacts with us, we realize a great deal about our lives and what's manifesting for us. So that makes us really realize in the end that the universe isn't this linear thing. It's not this linear progression from here to there. And that's all that is, you know, like the past and the future are now as well. And I believe that the universe is, in itself, is a living being, and that it's expanding and contracting just as we are. I'm breathing. So my lungs are breathing, expanding out. And as I breathe back in, it goes in. I breathe in and it expands, and I blow out and it contracts. So I'm this living being who's expanding and breathing. And I believe the universe and some of the science that we're seeing now is showing that the universe is expanding at the same time contracting. I believe that it's a living, breathing being that's aware of itself as much as we are. And the universe, a galaxy, they're all double helix, spiral wave patterns. And so is our DNA. So we're just a microcosm of the macrocosm. But it makes you realize that it's this eternalness of forever, you know, of eternity. And we are a part of that eternalness. We are an idea of the universe just as fleeting as our own ideas. You know, this body that we're in, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, it's gone. It's completely gone. And that conscious state you are is gone. And, you know, to be present right here in this moment is super important. You know, I've only lived a couple 42 years of my life, and it's just like that, bam, 42 years, here it is. And I'm trying to stay present as much as possible for the next 42. so that I can take in all I can take in and be present in this beautiful present that I've been able to receive from the universe. And I feel like most of you guys watching tonight are thinking that same thing, like, man, it goes by quick. Better stay present, better stay grounded, or it's all going to pass us by faster than we can possibly imagine. So synchronicity really is where we pierce the veil in reality into that great now. The universe is timeless and everything is connected. So when we have those synchronicities where something happens over here, something is said to us, and then, you know, maybe it's the same day, maybe it's weeks later, months later, someone says the exact same thing that somebody else said to you, or me. I was dating a girl, and then a couple months later, dating another girl, standing in the same place, in the same positions, the second girl said to me the same thing the first one did. And I was like, what a moment, you know, it just blew me away that it was almost like this deja vu moment on top of the same things being said. And it made me realize, you know, that something was really going on here. Something was really happening, that I was going to continue dating the same people, whether they looked the same, had the same backgrounds, if, you know, different cultures, whatever. It was going to be the same kind of archetypes over and over again until I changed myself, because I was emitting a frequency that brought people in like a magnet. So we're really like a microcosm synced to the macrocosm. And what happens in the cosmos happens to us. And that's why astrology is, you know, so amazing to even think about. Like, it really is true. Things that are happening out there is happening to us, that like an explosion of a nebula being created, or, you know, a star burning out. Those things are happening in the universe, but it's happening to us too. There's people, there's stars, you know, they even call celebrity stars, but we're just little walking around stars on this planet, and, you know, stars go out and they die, and there's explosions, and that explosion in your life can be your car exploding. Had that happen before too. Or it could be your consciousness expanding and exploding, or new ideas and circumstances happening for you and expanding and exploding. And it's like, those things are going to happen regardless. How are you going to tilt that one way or the other to work for you? And you have to believe at some point that all this stuff is happening for you and not to you. I think that's the most important. When we start to think that everything is happening to us, that we're unlucky, that bad things are happening, when it rains, it pours, those are laws and ideas that can create more of that. You stub your toe and you're angry and you're mad, you get stuck on it. And then after that, you just have the worst day ever sometimes, because you've got angry and emotional and married those together and created a whole day of crap. And that in itself is still synchronicity. It's a synchronized day where everything bad happened to you. And that's, you know, I laugh, but it can, as happened to me, but it made me realize that, man, I created that. I was powerful enough to create a really, really crappy day. Then I must be powerful enough to create a really awesome day and a really awesome life eventually. So you have to, you know, not see negative and positive always as bad or good. What's negative can be the most helpful thing to you ever. Better to be hot or cold. Better to have a really cold life. Better to almost sometimes be homeless, to be hungry, to find out what it's like to feel those things. And then you don't want other people to be hungry. You don't want other people to be homeless. It makes you dig down deep to find out, what am I really made of and what do I really want out of this life? And you have to learn to follow the breadcrumbs and the signs. Because if you don't, and you go meet that girl, and she says the same thing, you're like, oh, that's a coincidence. And then you date her, and then 6 months later, you're just as miserable as you was with the last girlfriend. You don't even realize, man, if I would have just listened to that one thing that somebody said, I could have avoided this whole thing and not wasted 6 months of my life. And not that you wasted it, because eventually you keep doing that, keep dating that same person, and it's not for you. It's going to wake you up, and you're going to change and be like, next time I hear somebody say something like that, I'm going to know to turn the other way. And eventually you do. And that's growth. And that's what it's all about. And not to take it as some negative thing, but it is panning out for you. The universe is happening for you, not beating you down and trying to take all your lunch money. It literally is doing what it needs to do, because that's what you put in. And that's what you get back. So eventually our lives could be a reality that's always being at the right place in the right time. And every new person we meet could be that next piece of the puzzle that we need for expansion, that we need for that next job, that we need to give us an idea or an understanding that we didn't have before, that make us, you know, learn to laugh again, who can help us learn to forgive again. And, you know, by being open and listening to what people are saying to us, is the universe talking to you. You don't even realize it. Oh, that's John Smith from down the street. No, that's God talking to you. And it looks like John Smith from down the street, but it's actually God too. Even if John Smith doesn't know it. And I think that's what we have to realize. Like, everything is God and it's all happening for us. It is the great I am that I am. It's all the that's that there is. It's all the John Smiths and the Jane Does that there is out there. And when you hear those people saying the same things to you over and over again, that's your cue to listen up, because it's trying to tell you something before it becomes that sledgehammer blow to you. So, and what all this means to me is, it comes down to the simple quote that Rumi gave long ago. What we are seeking, or what you are seeking, is seeking you. And I love that so much, because I know deep down in the fire of my belly that the thing that I want the most, the things that I want the most, are wanting me to. You know, I want, talking to Mike before this, and I want to be a person who learns how to do something like this, make a show, who interviews people, and you get better at it and you practice it. And I'm, you know, definitely feel like no public speaker by any means, or anybody trying to be like famous because of it. But I do feel called by God, by the universe, to share these things that I kind of understand, that I get. And like I said, in the beginning, it wasn't about sharing it to nobody. It wasn't about talking to any of these things that I made these mystery podcasts about. It wasn't about sharing it at first. It was my own personal journey that I wanted to know that if God actually existed, would you talk to me? Would you show me? I remember in 2007, graduating college after 8 years for a four-year degree, that I felt no smarter, no better, no more deserving to go get a job with this degree. And I was just like, I felt empty. I was like, man, that was a fun ride. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun there. But what I was here actually for, and actually stressing over these classes and passing and trying to get a degree that I finally got, at the end of the day, I didn't feel any more likely to succeed because of it. And that was a real letdown. It was a real letdown. And I remember, you know, looking up to God and saying, man, I don't know what is anything anymore. I don't know what's true and what's not true. I don't know if God exists. I don't know if Buddha exists. I don't know if atheists are right, but I just need you to show me something along this path so that I know. And I don't need to prove it to mom or dad or anybody. It's just for me. And when I said that and I got real, and I didn't even know that I was doing, but that's what it was getting real with God, you know, like having a real powwow, a real, you know, talk, everything changed. And I started seeing these breadcrumbs and I started seeing these signs. And, you know, in 2007, the internet's really popping. At that point, I was, you know, looking at things and I was reading books, and like my mind just, my whole world in reality blew up. I mean, in 2007, everything changed for me. Now that I had quit school and I had this opportunity to look at new things, everything changed. So, and I feel like that's all we have to do. We have to get out of our own way and be open to what the universe has to give us. And I just want to go now in some of those messages real quick with you guys. So the messages, what is one of the first messages I think about when I think about synchronicity? In particular, like goosebumps, that physical feeling that we feel when the hair stands up on our whole body, on our back, on our arms. You know, I know that's assessing the environment, picking up on things. Sometimes we're scared, but there are those moments when things happen. You're like, what is going on in this moment? Who is here? What is happening? And you have that just feeling of settling in right here and down deep into this now. What is going on? I'm paying attention. I'm looking around. I'm feeling with my heart what's happening. That is a huge synchronicity moment to me. Pay attention when those things happen. Another big one for me is the aha moment or the eureka moment, when you feel like, aha, I found it, I got it, eureka. That's kind of like my inner voice speaking to me, and that I've learned now not to discount, to always follow it. I remember one time, probably around 2008 or 9, after this big expansion happened to me in 2007, going to Thanksgiving dinner. My parents lived in Colorado at the time, so people asked me to come eat Thanksgiving dinner with me, and I was like, okay. And I went, and I was just talking about all these things with this girl. And it was a friend, my good friend's girlfriend, and she was open and she was ready. And the teacher was there to, you know, give her what this student had learned. And I feel like I blew her mind. And I went home and I was just feeling so good. Someone, you know, heard me and received these things that I, you know, hadn't really shared too many times with too many people. And when I did, it wasn't as well received. So this time I was like, wow. And, you know, I got on the phone with a friend to tell him about it. And as I was on the phone talking about it, I felt a wrinkle happen in my brain. I was like, you know, just all of a sudden I was like, whoa. And then I started saying to this guy, I was like, man, I just felt this wrinkle happen in my brain. And I was like, I feel like people who have more wrinkles are more intelligent. And he's like, well, look it up. And I looked it up, and that's what brain plasticity is that people who have more wrinkles in their brain are more intelligent than people who don't. And when you're a kid, you learn how to walk, you learn how to talk. You're constantly getting wrinkles, and the wrinkle is creating more surface area in the brain. So it's just adding more to this, the brain, the capacity. So, and I was like, man, that's crazy. I never heard anybody say this, and I don't think I've heard anybody say it since, but this happened to me. And it's genuine, and I share it because it's real, and I feel like it could happen to other people. But I think when you have those eureka moments, those aha moments, your brain is physically changing and creating more of those times, like when you learn how to hold a cup or walk or talk. And we get out of that because we think everything's discovered and everything's already known and there's no more mysteries to solve. And we start to open up about those things again. Then it's like, oh, wow, the universe is way cooler than I thought it was. And there's more to it. And it's something to get excited about, like a kid is excited about being in the now. I'm excited to be here now, Mom. Not because we're going anywhere or doing anything, just because I'm here and I'm alive. And like, man, that is what we need, right? We're so bored and I'm so bored with what's going on. And, you know, and it's like, how can you be bored in an infinite amount of time and space? When anything is possible, where there's an infinite amount of things you don't know about and people are bored. Oh, wow. It's mind blowing when you think about stuff like that. Even the inside of your own brain is infinite. And so follow, learn to listen to that inner voice 100%. Another time that I had one of those aha moments. I'll say this in the book later. We'll do that in the book later. So people are huge. Old friends, especially, like you start thinking about an old friend, and then all of a sudden that old friend comes back, you know, calls you up or you meet somewhere randomly. That is something to show you something big, usually to show you your growth, where you come from, especially if it's somebody you know when you were a kid. And now it's 10 or 20, 30, 40 years later, whatever. And you're like, man, you know, how you been? And like, what are you into now? And just seeing how far you come with that person, since you know that person, gives you a lot. It gives you a lot to think about and to, you know, and to dwell on and to grow from. Like, man, I really come a long way. You'd be proud of yourself, you know? Another one is, and this has probably happened to almost everybody at this point, right? That when you're thinking about somebody really hard, wondering what they're doing, how they're going, and you feel them, and then all of a sudden, bam, they call or text you. Like that's, I mean, I think that's happened to most of us at some point at this point in our lives, right? That's definitely that synchronicity where it's like, wow, you know, just thinking about this person because what became intertangled at some point, and now we have this knowing of each other and these feelings of each other, and just thinking about somebody really in-depthly, that can literally just feel that's enough to, you know, actually pick up the phone and call you or text you. And literally everybody that you meet, I want to say for the most part, honestly, but I feel like every single person that you meet represents archetypes, just like those tarot cards. You know, when you meet the priestess or the fool, or, you know, that's, I feel like that's just the book that's teaching you how to get there. And so just like the hero's journey, there's all these people that come in at certain times and situations when you need something, when you're feeling down, when the tower burns down, you know, and you're about to rebuild yourself, your new life. They're all like archetypes to us. And so important to like see and think about how each person is coming to your life and what they represent, who they are, what they're showing you about yourself, what you can learn and grow from them, for them being in your life. And if you can realize what archetypes that they're representing for you, there's so much that you can gain from that person and learn from and get from. And not that that's the goal, is to get people from anything. Like, you want to grow as a person, right? You want to be someone not just receives, but gives. But one of the things people don't realize is it's so important, as just as important to receive as to give, to receive compliments, to receive knowledge and wisdom and understanding and love and kindness, and replicate that back out too. Because if you don't pay attention and you don't follow these signs and you don't listen to when someone says, oh, I could be your enemy, or I could be someone that you could really hate or whatever, and you don't pay attention, I could be your next mistake. You could be dating the same archetype as the last person and you could be totally miserable, like I said before. So you got to be really careful. And people give you those subtle little clues. And if you don't listen, again, it starts as a tickle, a little feather, a little nudge. And if you don't listen, it can be a sledgehammer blow that, you know, you just don't want. So that's what I did. I mean, I literally, hearing that girl say the same thing as the last girlfriend in my apartment, standing in the exact same places, and the light bulb goes off in my head. And it's that aha, eureka moment. Like, she just said the same thing me the last one said. And I said, if I don't change myself, I'm going to continue to date the same people, no matter what ethnicity they are, where they're from, what country I go to. It doesn't matter. If I go to Mars and there's people there, pretty sure there's people there, you can date the same people. May have different names, it may look a little different, but it's the same kind of person through and through. And, you know, if you start to listen, you can start to know where to go with somebody. Where's the next job to go to? Where's the next event to go to? When someone invites you to go something, know that that's something to go to. And the next piece of your puzzle could be there. The next part of your growth, the next big expansion that you have could be there. So, you know, learn to follow it. Another one is books. So, you know, sometimes a book will be mentioned to you numerous times. Definitely go find that book and check it out. Or, you know, one of the greatest things is when somebody gives you a book. And I've had that happen quite a few times. And that is always something that is very, very powerful. One of the last books someone gave me was The Greatest Salesman. Great book. And follow that, you know, because there's so much great things in books. And like, you know, reading a book gives you the permission to excite your own imagination and create your own little world of what these people look like and what's going on, and so much more so than a TV show or something. So, you know, when someone gives you a book, when someone mentions a book, go check them out and go read them. Books usually help point you to the next thing, that everything really is connected. And oftentimes you see the same concepts cross over. One of the big concepts that crossed over for me was, definitely a big Bible guy. I've been reading the Bible since I was a little kid. And I remember being in Sunday school and reading those, you know, Old Testament stories and things. And I said, man, I put myself right there in the middle of those stories when they were going on. And I loved it and I felt great. But as an older person, I realized, you know, I had some predisposed ideas about the Bible. So I want to go back and read it for myself. So I would read that and really dive into it and try to see, you know, with new eyes, to read something that I've read many times before and I listened to many times before, and try to learn from it in a new way. And I did that, and that was great. And then there would be these times that my intuition, something in there, a verse, something was said, or a way it was said, that triggered me to think, man, I should go learn about that subject, you know, black magic or whatever, you know, not to judge it, not to have any predisposed idea that it's good or bad. Just take it for that subject for what it's worth on its own accord, how I can go look at it. And one of those things that came up for me was alchemy. And so I had, I went and bought just a basic alchemy book and just wanted to read about it. And I think I read five chapters in. And after I got done with five chapters, I closed it up and put my book down. And I had that inner voice say loud and clear, now it's time to go read the Bible. And I was like, wow. Bible. I'm reading an alchemy book right now, just in case you don't know. I'm trying to learn all the things you told me to learn about. And I'm having this conversation with myself, literally. And it was like screaming it inside. Now it's time to go read the Bible. And I'm like, okay, man, the Bible is a really big book too. Where do I start? You know? And it was just like, read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. Just like that. And so I was like, all right, okay, cool. So I'll just open it up. And I just opened it up and started reading. And I started reading, and literally within a couple sentences, I'm reading the exact same sentences that was just I just read in the alchemy book. And I was like, holy smokes. And not just the same words, but they were literally the cornerstone the first builders rejected. And they had quotation marks on them. And then they're separated by space. And I was like, man, this is like a billboard sign right here in the Bible of the what I was just reading in the alchemy book. And it got me so much. I was like, man, this is unbelievable. And next thing I know, it felt like the room, I didn't see anything, but it felt like the room filled up with angels, ancestors, and spirit guides. And it felt like they were all cheering me on like I was the coolest person in town. Just clapping and cheering and way to go, Jacob. You are figuring it out. Good for you. And it was so overwhelming, I started to cry. And I, at that moment, I felt what I would say is the Holy Spirit. And I was overwhelmed with unconditional love. That I knew that God and the universe and all these people that were here were so on my side. That they loved me more than I could possibly know. And that they were proud of me more than anybody has ever made me feel that they were proud. Man, and I was overwhelmed for a long time. It felt like 3 hours. It was probably more like 30 minutes. And I was sitting there crying in my apartment by myself. But it changed my life. And I realized at that moment, I was like, I will never, ever discount this eureka moment or this inner voice in my head. So incredible. And it changed my life. And I said, ever since then, I've always read the books. I've always, you know, changed it up. If I need to change it up at that moment, I go look at something and I always see those things. Another moment I was going to talk about earlier, but I didn't know where to put it, but it's in a book. So 10 years ago or so, again, I didn't say these things to tell on my parents, but eventually I felt like it was a responsibility to try to help them see the things that I was seeing. And at first it was like really tough and I tried to probably push it on harder than others, but you know, they wanted me to go to church with them one night. And so I was going to go and I was just talking to them and, you know, telling them about my spiritual experiences and things that happened and these synchronicities that happened to me and these, you know, cool little things and breadcrumbs and signs that God was showing me. And I was like, I want you guys to see them too. And so they were like, you know, okay, sure, whatever. And we're in the car and we're almost there. And I was like, you know, there's that saying in the Bible that says, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but listen to that inner voice. That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. It's just like, there's that inner voice with God that's talking to you. I can hear that now loud and clear. And my dad's like, okay, man, okay, we're going into church. So just relax and keep it down. And so we went in and we sat down. And there was just a random Bible on the pew and my mom picks it up and literally the page that she opened to had a bookmark in it. And it said, you can look to the left or you can look to the right, but you hear that inner voice speaking to you. And that's what you should listen to. And then she turned to me and said, look at this. And I go, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's the synchronicity stuff. And it was just like, in that moment, it you didn't have to convince anybody. It really wasn't something you had to push on anybody. Like, if what you're saying is real and true, the magic will happen. Just let it happen. And I was like, that little thing right there is enough to push somebody in a way that no words can do. No experience sometimes. You can't be a prophet in your own home anyway, right? Because those are your parents that know you since you're a kid, and they don't want you to even surpass them in most things anyway, especially knowledge and wisdom and spirituality. And they want to be the parents. But that, I think that changed my mom's life that day. And there were a lot of things I said after that that she would maybe not initially jump on, but eventually she would. So those things can change your life. And that's what I'm saying. You don't have to have this conviction to go out and just do all these things. Sometimes you just be yourself, say the golden nuggets that you need to say, be who you are. Don't water yourself down completely, but you know, you don't have to feel the stress and the pressure to rapture someone up in this moment right here. Know that they'll happen on their due time, but be yourself and say those things, because they can manifest and synchronize in a way that somebody can't unsee those things. They can't unhear it. She can't take that experience away. It happens, and I can always bring them back. So you remember that? Wasn't that awesome? Wasn't that a cool feeling, you know, that God was talking to you? And I think that's one of those things that really people can never deny. You can keep calling it a coincidence, but eventually you have to call it something else besides that, because it keeps happening. There's no way it's a coincidence. Another big one for a lot of people is numbers, right? That's the way the universe works. It's numbers. It speaks its own universal language. It has to be mathematics, because the mathematics that apply here have to apply everywhere. And you hear that saying, like, angel numbers, 11, 11, 4, 4, 4. Oops, I kicked it again. And you people say that, oh, look at this number. Look at the back of this license plate or whatever it is. And those are great, man. Those are pointing to certain things that you need to see and understandings that need to be had. And if you're thinking about a certain thing and you see those, man, that's a big resonance for you. Like, keep thinking about those things, keep dwelling on them, keep talking about them. And they really are important. And I'm not going to go into the significance of 1111 or 444 or 555 or whatever, 888. They're all great to me. They all mean different things. When you see them, experience them, look them up for yourself. What comes up for you is what you need to see. Follow it. Continue to follow. Numbers, when they come up, are great. When you're on it and you're not like looking at your phone all the time, and, you know, I see 1111 all the time. And it's just when I'm on it and doing what I'm supposed to do, I pick up the phone and I grab it or look at the clock, and bam, that's what it is every single time. And it just comes in. It's natural. You don't have to try to make it happen. After I send that text, it right at 11:11, and it's just going to happen, because that's the person that you're talking to. Those are the numbers that resonate with you and them. And that's the thing that's going on that you're thinking about, that you see those numbers. They're really cool. A number that's a little bit different, but one of the probably most profound numbers for me personally is the number 26. In 1999, when I went to college, I had to have an email, and back then I didn't even know what an email was, an email address. And I just put my name in, obviously Jacob Cox, very, very popular name. So it gave me some suggestions, and I just used the first thing that came up. 26 didn't mean anything to me. Didn't matter. Just trying to get that thing done as soon as possible. Well, what was funny, as I went to college and as I was learning things, and even after I got out of college, especially, like I said, in 2007, I started noticing things that had to do with 26. And one of the first big things that came up for me was the Mayan calendar had 260 days, 2260. And that was a cycle around woman's gestation for them and stuff. So that was interesting. And then I found out that the precession of the equinox was 26,000 years. So 26 with a couple more zeros. And then, seemingly enough, scientists are finding out that every 26 million years, things spontaneously evolve into other things, you know, like shellfish into fish, and there's no in between. And how are they all of a sudden just birthing into these new things? It's pretty crazy. But I was like, man, what a crazy thing, you know, 26, 26, 26, huh? What a weird thing going on here. It's almost like this, you know, kind of feminine birthing number of the universe, where, you know, it's a creation of something new by giving birth to it. And I was like, that's pretty interesting. And then as I was doing yoga and starting to learn yoga, and somebody said, well, you know, yoga is 26 poses that gives birth to yoga. 26 poses that gives birth to the practice of yoga. Well, that's interesting. And then I started to think about, is there anything else out there that could be something like that? You know, I'm just making these things up in my head. And then, you know, right then, think about it, all of a sudden it came to my mind. There are 26 letters to the alphabet that give birth to the English language. Damn, that's pretty interesting too. And 206 bones give birth to the human skeleton. And I could go on and on, and there's more of them. But I was like blown away. I was like, man, this 26 is a feminine birthing number. And the 2 and 6 in general, adding them together is an 8, which is the infinity cycle of cycles being born over and over again. So it made sense that you know, kind of like the 26,000 year precession of the equinoxes, that these are cycles of time. And then after thinking about all these things, man, that's such a cool thing. I realized that my own mom's birthday was on 8/26. And I was like, dang. And, you know, not that everybody's mom needs to be on the 26, but that's what it needed to be for me, so that I could wake up a little bit more and realize that numbers meant something, that they had profound meaning to them other than just 1 + 1 = 2, that they represented things and the universe spoke in numbers. That changed my life. And so that's why you guys see Jacob Cox 26 on YouTube channels and my emails and everything else. It's a number that stuck with me. It's been so profound in my life. It changed me, that numbers really do mean things. And they're really important. So numbers, those angel numbers, all this stuff is really important. And then another message from the universe to go down. Deja vu. God, one of the coolest ones. Surreal moments that, you know, it seems to bleed through to now, whatever it is. If it could be the place. It could be the people in it. It could be the feeling of this moment. But something about deja vu is like whenever you're experiencing it, something is profoundly going on here, right? Like I said, whether it's the people, the moment, the feeling, what's happening, but you've done this before. And it makes you realize, like, man, this is not the first time I did this lifetime thing. I have done it before and I'm going to do it again. And when these things happen, it resonates a feeling of, this has happened before. Something like this has happened almost identical to this before, whether I've been to this place or met these people or this feeling, whatever it is. That what a great thing. What an incredible feeling that's happened before, and that, you know, it's something profound. And you just write, you have no doubt. You just have no doubt sometimes when those things happen that I've done this life thing before. Another big one is music. You know, sometimes kind of forget about a song you used to listen to as a kid, and then all of a sudden you hear it, and it brings back that memory or a feeling of something that happened or a way you felt at a certain point in your life. I feel like that gives you an incredible foundation for how far I've grown, where I've come from, who I am now. And if it gives you a feeling of the past that you used to feel a lot, you know, listen to songs like you're angry or you're mad or whatever, and you realize, man, I'm just not that anymore. And I don't listen to music like that anymore. That helps you realize so much about yourself and brings up memories and feelings and things. Oh, man, that's still there for me a little bit. That memory, that feeling is still there. You know, something I need to work on. So music is profound, like smells and things too. They can bring back memories and feelings of people, places, and events that can bring forth a lot to your life to make you realize, like, hey, I need to work on that. Look how far I've come. A lot of those things. So another beautiful thing about music is I just listened to, in the very beginning of my journey, listen to a lot of solfeggio tones and music like that, and crystal bowls and singing bowls and stuff. And I would just imagine myself riding waves of light, and I would have like profound insights. And I would literally one time was just riding the waves of light, and I was taking Einstein's advice of imagining riding waves of light while I'm listening to these solfeggio tones. And hence I knew the black hole was in the center of the universe. And I was like, wow, what a crazy feeling that the universe was emitting light in a spiral galaxy coming out from it. And I walked in the living room, and the exact same thing was being said on the television the exact same time, right after I had that profound meditation download. And I was like, wow, how could this even be possible that the same thing is on television? Am I, you know, now you realize this, what a synchronicity that was. I'm either synchronized with whatever's coming out of the ether into this cable cord, or I'm synchronized to the, you know, the whole entire universe, and there's understandings all around me. And this is just something that I'm realizing to help me get that confirmation that what I just downloaded is true. And here's the confirmation on a TV show, on a History Channel, whatever it was, sci-fi or some, you know, validating that same thing for me. And another cool one that I had when it came to music was on my birthday, long after my grandparents had died, I was going skydiving. So I was super excited to go skydiving for the first time and face those fears, and probably a bit nervous to, no, it was the second time. This happened on the second time. So I had already done it. I was super stoked about it and happy. And I was going to skydive, and I was with a buddy in my truck. And then all of a sudden, this song came on called Birthday by Kings of Leon. And it's about having a happy birthday. And at that exact moment, I was like, oh my God, I never heard the song. And I guess I was just on like Spotify Shuffle. And it just came on all of a sudden. It was really weird. I never heard it. And I was talking to my friend. I was like, wow, dude, this birthday song just came on out of nowhere on my birthday. And as soon as I said that, I felt the presence of my grandparents, that they were with me and they were happy that I was happy. They were happy that I was doing things that were scary, that were, you know, the things that I were afraid to do in the past, that I was facing my fears and overcoming them. And that somehow, whatever they did to tap into the realm of my reality, they were able to put that channel on. And I was like, how did you guys know I like Kings Leon? You know? So that was a profound time when music was really cool. And then another one, Nature's Messages. You know, trees speak to us, plants can speak to us. There are oftentimes where I would go to Garden of the Gods, Red Rock Canyon, and just go take a nap or sit in out the nature. And I would get real deep feelings and hints to go a certain place or to move over here. And I would go over there and I'd find like this crazy path that I would never have found if I didn't feel that, if I didn't act on that hint. And find crazy places to go in Garden of Gods most people don't know about. And you know, walking in Sequoia National Park 2015 when I first moved to Colorado, and I felt like driving through this redwood forest or the Sequoia forest, these massive trees, and I saw four massive trees just like right next to each other. And I was like, man, that's almost like one giant tree. And as soon as I turned to look at it, it was like, over here, come over here. And I was like, what? And so I literally pulled my car over right away and got out. And as I started walking to this tree, before I got there was a fence and a hill. And up from this fence, I could hear something talking to me in the head saying, no, I'm up here. I'm up this way. And I was like, what? And nobody, it's obviously nobody, but I can hear it in my head. And I was like, I'm not supposed to jump the fence. Man, I'm trying to be a good person these days. You know, I'm not going to do that. So, but anyways, he kept saying it. So I jumped the fence and ran up there. And there was a huge sequoia tree with this huge, almost like cathedral-like walkway where I couldn't even touch on either side. And it was probably 10 feet high. And it looked like this just beautiful gate for me to walk in. And I walked in and I couldn't touch anywhere, holding my arms out by 3 feet probably. And it was just this flat place where it looks like, this is where you sit down and meditate here. And I was like, oh, okay, well, sit down here. And I did. And that tree gave me a sound bath that I'd never had before. Just a wong, 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 just cleansing me and speaking to me in a way that I didn't know could exist. And like a sound bath. And when I got done, I got up and I looked around and I found this other hole that was big enough for me to jump in. I jumped in that hole. And then there's a room in there, and there was another hole, and I jumped into another room. And next thing you know, I walked out the back of the tree, and I was just like, wow. And he's like, thanks. The tree talked to me. It sounds wild, but it happens. And I know a lot of you out there listening had experiences like that. And it's just awesome to know that nature provides messages for us too. It gives us those understandings and breadcrumbs and feelings that we never even know existed. If we're just open enough, we're open enough to listen to what the universe has, man, our life can become a magical, very, very magical place. Trying to go quickly here. Animals represent characteristics. So when you thinking about something and you see that hawk fly over, what that represents to you. And again, I'm not going to get into the depths of animals, but And they obviously represent certain things, cats and dogs and owls and eagles and all that kind of stuff. And it's something to be aware of. And not just seeing the animal, but it could be a picture of it. It could be, you know, the word or whatever. Like all of a sudden you think about something and see the word of something, you know, that could have still have that power of the archetype to pay attention to it when you see it, when you see that picture, when you see that word. When you see those animals, I've definitely had owls fly over my head a few times. One time in a Mayan cave with shamans, I went down there and they were going to do this big ceremony in there. Before we went in and I walked in and I was like, oh my God, I was called. And I started running through that Mayan cave, looking around, and I found like this kind of other cave in the back, and I started to go in it and I could see this huge room, and there's a little hole in the top, and that caused like this pillar of light to be in the center of this cave. And I was like, oh my God, I felt like Indiana Jones. And I was like, just got to walk in here and see what's happening, you know? And it felt like a magical moment. And I walked in, and right as I walked through the pillar of light, right when it hit my body, I could see this huge white owl fly over my head. And I thought he was going to rip my face off. But he just flew right over my head. And then I was like, what? As I walked through this pillar of light, and I turned around and looked at him, he's staring at me, and he flies into the top of the cave and pull my phone out, trying to get a picture of him. And then I barely got a picture of him before he flies out the top of that hole. And then as I'm looking for him, I see this other crazy animal I don't think I've ever seen before, not even in a zoo. And I came to find out later it was a coati, which is like a raccoon. We got raccoon dog looking thing. But I was telling people about it, I had to look it up. But it was wild. And it was just like, those things mean things. And I looked it up and I know what it meant for me. But when you see those things and those things kind of happen, don't discount it. Definitely go back, do a little research, read a book, find on the internet. And what does this owl represent? What can a coati represent? And those things can, you know, help you on another path. Those synchronicities like that can help you on another path to something else too. So, and then events, just anything that you can think of, you should always go to whatever you feel is exciting, yoga, sound healings, gatherings, because the people you meet there will be the people that you sync up with to find the next piece of the puzzle, to find the next place to go to find the next cool thing to be a part of. And they're the other sparks of the universe, people, you know, they're the other synapses, if you will, of the brain. That's where the magic's happening, is to meet other people. So go do those things, go experience those places. It's really important to, you know, kind of go where people call you to go. I mean, I had an event one time where my friend just wanted me to go to church with him and go up and see his house in Denver. And we live in Colorado Springs, and I did. And we had a small conversation on the way there, just about, he was sad about the girls that he was meeting at the bars and stuff. And I was like, man, what I know about the universe, he's like, don't let me meet those girls, man. Tell me not to do that. And I was like, what I know about the universe, dude, do not talk about what you don't want. Talk about what you do want. And I was like, what do you want? He's like, I want a healthy relationship with a girl. I was like, okay, what's your favorite thing to do? He says, mountain bike. And I was like, that's great, because I want to get a mountain bike and I want to go mountain bike riding. Because I live with this guy and he was like the COO of a company, and I knew he had a lot of money and he'd already helped me out in a lot of ways. I was like, you know, even if I have to get him to buy it and then I pay him back in payments, whatever it takes, I'll get a bike and we'll go riding, and, you know, we'll meet some people doing healthy things, and you won't have to find some girl at the bar to bring her to bike mountain biking because she don't want to go. You find somebody mountain biking because that's what they're already doing. And he agreed, and he said, that sounds like a great idea. I was like, good. So we went to this guy's church, and then we went to go wash his car at his house. And then we went to the neighbor's house to get some supplies. And that guy had 20 mountain bikes in his car, in his garage. And I was like, man, this is what a synchronicity. We were just talking about mountain bikes. Tell me about these mountain bikes. Tell me about your love for mountain bikes. And he started talking about them. And there was one in the corner that was green and black, just like the Jeep that I had. And so I was like, what about that one? And he said, oh, nobody rides that bike. I don't even, you know, care for that one too much. I was like, what would you take for it? He goes, I'd take nothing from it if you wanted to take it. And I was like, cool. And we took that bike and put it in the car and drove it home. And I was like, man, that was just 2 or 3 hours ago that we were talking about getting mountain bikes and riding. And I knew that I was going to get one because I knew this guy and he had money. And I was like, you know, whatever it takes, he'll help me get it. And I relinquished, of all the ways it could happen, And I just knew that it was going to happen. And I realized at that moment, that's how manifestation happens. It's like, don't worry about how it happens. Just know that it's going to happen. And no, you don't need to know the CEO of a company. You know God. You know angels. You know the universe. And you know it loves you. And when it gives you what you want and wants to give it to you in a way, probably better than you can imagine. So relinquish of how it's going to happen and just know that it is. That is really, you know, more than anything, what's important about it. So, okay, getting to the end here, but ideas. Another thing is ideas. Going to a spiritual event and the message you need to hear is the topic, right? When you go to church or you go to some gathering or you go to some spiritual event, you feel called to go, I need to go. And once you get there, they're talking about that exact thing that you need to talk about. Man, that's synchronicity at one of its best, right? And that's one of the things you need to hear, and you know it. Things seem like that keep coming up. You need to explore them. Even if they sound crazy, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. Just keep doing and believing that you are going to go to the right places because that's where you feel called. That's what most excites you. Do it. And, you know, ideas that keep coming up. And what I think about ideas is don't believe it or don't disbelieve it. But go research it for yourself. Give that topic its due diligence. Give it everything it needs that you can review it and understand it without being someone who believes it or doesn't believe it. So you can really get down to the core of like, is it true or not? And most likely, to be honest, anything that keeps coming up, there's a reason for it and a reason you need to learn about it. Especially if it triggers you, if it makes you angry or upset. That's not what I was taught in school. That's definitely the thing to get on and try to learn about. Those topics eventually, once you've learned about it and you realize, oh my God, this probably is true. Those topics blow your mind and connect you to other topics and give you an even deeper understanding of something you already knew about. Now you know about it even more and can literally overturn things that you were told in school that you never thought were even possible. That's happened to me so many times now. That's what makes me question everything and literally try to learn about everything. And those deeper understandings that happen, those ideas that come, duality, oneness, inner earth, you know, moon, matrix, whatever it is, go down those rabbit holes, learn about them. Don't get caught up in the craziness of them, but give it its day, give it its due diligence, research it. Ask people about it, talk about it, especially if it's something that triggers you and or something that keeps coming up for you. Another one is dreams. Obviously, dreams have powerful symbols and archetypes. Dreams can be hard to decipher sometimes, but keep looking and keep digging and keep asking your guides, what does this mean? What are you trying to say to me? What's going on here? How can I understand this better? What is this about for me? Dreams can be really awesome and really straightforward. One time I had a dream that I was sitting at a table with friends of mine and I couldn't decipher who it was, but I knew that it was people that I knew that I felt comfortable with. And we were all talking about superhero powers and what would be your superhero power. And I was the last person to go. And I've always known if I had a superhero power, what it would be. And so everybody went around, there's the four of us there. And it happened just like the dream. A couple of days later, sitting in a restaurant with four other people, one person said, I want to be able to jump from anywhere. I want to be able to, from anywhere on the planet that I can go, jump anywhere. I was like, that's cool. One girl said she wanted to be able to fly. And the other guy said he wanted to be able to go to any time period that he wanted to at any time. And I was like, that's cool. And then they asked me, and I knew what I was going to say before even the first person went. And I said, I would want to heal everybody of anything in the world, period. That's it. And that, you know, it was the same thing where people were like, man, kind of makes me feel bad that mine is something so personal. It's to fill my ego and yours is something so different. I was like, it's cool. It's fine. It's something I had a lot of time to think about. And I was like, I could even just, if you were flying, I could just ride on you and just heal people as we go. So it would be something that we could do together. And so they laughed. But that moment was so cool because I had dreamed it before and it actually happened just a couple of days later. And that is something that shows you that it's all important, that it matters. And I've even had visions of my grandparents that they were, there was like the matrix called residual self. They were like in their 20s. They looked beautiful. They were happy. And that gave me so much joy and happiness that they weren't hurting anymore. They weren't sick anymore, that they were happy, that their egos were gone, their prejudice were gone, stereotypes were gone. They were like their most pure, beautiful selves. And I've had many dreams of them now. And that gives me so much hope and so much comfort into knowing that they are really with me all the time. I just got a couple more here, guys. Symbols. That's one that's come up a lot for me as a kid that I didn't even know why. But now I realize it as an older person looking back. But I used to love that yin and yang symbol, the white and the dark. The light and the dark and the birth giving, light giving birth to dark, dark giving birth to light. I didn't even know what it was. I just knew I loved it as a kid, and I had necklaces and I wore it and I drew it. And later in life, I found the galactic butterfly, which is basically a yin yang symbol with that, you know, opposite sides to it. And I was blown away at its meaning later on to learn about it and its duality, and that the duality is oneness. And then I realized, oh my God, I'm a Gemini. I'm all about this duality. And then I realized why I was like a devil's advocate as a kid all the time, as I loved, no matter what side someone picked, I always picked that other side just to argue with them or just to discuss with them, to help them see the other side could be valid too. Like, your point's great too, but this one's also good. Could you see it that way? And so I've always played that with people, even as a little kid. And so those symbols helped me realize who I was even back then. And then another one that came up more so as an adult was like the swastika, and realizing that what I was told my whole life was this was an evil, negative symbol. And then come to find out that it was in Chinese and historical documents and Tibet and Native American, and everywhere you looked, you know, Mayans, they all had these swastikas and stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, this is a symbol that really means like good fortune and positive and things like that. So I was like, man, my whole life can change in an instant if you just open it up to look at the symbols, look at the things that are going on, and how you liked things as a kid that you didn't even know what they were, but deep down you really did. And maybe at the end of the day, this is how healing happens in the now. You know, diseases can probably come from multiple causes. And so by following the signs of healing and growth, you know, why am I so in disease? Why am I so out of balance? You know, why are these negative emotions that I'm feeling? Is this hate? Is this anger? Is this jealousy? Is it getting me off balance? Is it these, you know, negative foods that I'm eating with these chemicals in it? Is it this, whatever it is? For me, I had an autoimmune disease when I was young, and it happened like all of a sudden. I was so itchy. I could literally like barely touch my skin and write my name, and it would whelp up, and my name would, you could just write your name and it would be like red whelps, and it would be itchy and hot. And it was like, went to the doctor and they're like, we don't know why this is happening. We can just give you like antihistamine stuff that'll make you not itchy as much. But that made me super tired, and they couldn't tell me why it was happening, when it was going to end, or anything other than just give me something that made it like somewhat tolerable, made me super tired. But that opened up my whole journey of healing, like going to Reiki sessions, going to metaphysical fairs and stores, and, you know, keeping crystals in my pocket, and, you know, using sage. I mean, all that was such a huge part of my journey at like 18 that just blew me out of the water. Like, that I was sick from this thing that nobody could figure out why. And, you know, after a decade or so, after going to all these places and doing all these things, I healed myself. And I would 100% believe like that was something I could have done in a second, but I wasn't aware enough to know. And I had to go out and find those things and get back to ease. I was at dis-ease, and I had to get back to ease. And to me, that's like probably like almost the ultimate synchronicity, is that someone who could heal themselves of all the things and problems that they had and be a totally at ease, healthy, vibing, beautiful, blooming person. Then in that moment, you can help others see that in themselves and see that for them and create that ultimate healing in a split second, where that healing happens right here in the now. That's when you sync up and you realize, man, that's when you become like a master Reiki healer to me, when you can help people walk again, help people see again. That's what makes you the master, is when you've done it for yourself, and then you can help other people see it. But even someone like Jesus, because he couldn't do it in his hometown, couldn't do it for people who didn't believe. So you are a facilitator of that healing, but you're not literally giving them the healing. You help them realize that it's possible themselves. And I think that could probably be really, honestly, the most ultimate synchronicity for me. So I really think the biggest thing on this whole thing is, if we want to create a life of incredible synchronicity, incredible events and situations and circumstances and archetypes that come in that just blow your mind every day, that it's a positive, fun, beautiful way to live and being at the right place at the right time, one of the biggest things is get out of your way. Get out of your own way, not being attached to how all these things are going to happen, but just know that they are going to happen for you, because you know the Creator, you know God's with you, you know God loves you, and you know that you're worthy. And you know that God and the universe is speaking to you directly through these events, and it's not coincidence. That it loves you and us and knows already what we want. And it wants to give it to us in a way that's better than we could possibly imagine. Living in Atlanta, being a bartender, doing the meditation, going to the yogas, waking up, and my heart screaming to me, go to Colorado and work with kids. And my brain just kept saying, no one's going to hire you to work with kids. And I eventually had to overcome the fear of what other people may think, or what my own brain thinks about the situation, but to follow my own heart and to get out of my own way and give away everything I got and say, you know what? If all this is real, if it's all real, then I should be able to give it all away and ride out to Colorado with whatever fits in my car, and I'll be able to get it all back and more. And I did. And I got a job working at a place working with kids where we saw bighorn sheep every day. I saw a couple bears up there. I wrangled a baby rattlesnake up there. I worked in this incredible, beautiful place on the background of Garden of the Gods, like literally like it's some, you know, Tibetan monk mountaintop is what it looked like, with the most incredible kids. And I remember thinking, you know, I want to be like a next Martin Luther King or the next John Lennon, or, you know, those are people I want to aspire to be like. I want to help people in any way I can and free people of their concerns or, you know, what brings them down. And I remember being at that place and a kid grabbed me by the hair and was pulling me down. And I was in a lot of pain. And I was like, this is really hard. This is a really hard job that I'm doing. And I kind of, after I got my hair back and I sitting in there and it calmed down for just a second, I looked out the window and I said, you know, God, I was following everything that I felt like you said to do, and everything's worked out so far, but this is really tough. And I was like, I don't know what to do about it. I don't know if I should quit. And I feel like I'm not worthy of this. I'm not good at this. And instantly that thought came, the message came back. And it said, don't you think that Jesus was spat on and they pulled his hair and they made fun of him and it was hard, and Martin Luther King went through things that were hard, and you don't think that these were adults that did these things to them? That's a child. If you can't take it from the child, how could you take it from an adult? And I was instantly humbled to the max. And I said, you know, you're right. I know it. I know what I came here to do. I know what I want to be. I'm following the spirit-led life now. And every time I ask, I always get the right answers back. And in that moment, I felt really free. I was like, you know what? No matter what comes at me, be grateful. And if I get spit in the face, if I get my hair pulled, if I get bit, I realize, oh, if I can take it from, you know, this population, I could take it from anybody. And I could be the person that I was meant to be in this lifetime. And I know that it was, that if I took this job and I did this thing, it was going to give me understanding that I didn't know that I had. And I am now the person that I never know that I thought I could be. I do a job that I never thought I could do. I have a life that I never thought I would live. I have a home now. I started working for $10 an hour at this place, and I was making, you know, $50 an hour on tax at that bartending job. And I make, Now I have a home, I have a family, I have children. I have so many things that make me so much richer. It's not about the money in your bank account. It's the richness of your life. That synchronicity is the realest thing that's ever happened, to knowing that all these things, if I just believe in myself and follow my heart, that the synchronicity of life will come into play, and all the things that I'm giving away, all the things that I got, the status that I feel like I'm giving up, I'm going to get all that back and more. And I really do feel that I've got all that and more. And I believe that can happen to every single person out there. You just have to follow your heart. You have to get out of your own way. Know that the universe loves you. Know that what you are seeking is seeking you. Whatever you want, whatever you feel like you deserve the most, that is it. At your deepest part of your own soul. I couldn't imagine that anybody was going to hire me to work with any kids for anything that had on my resume. And I remember I didn't think that they were, and they weren't going to call me back. And I was on my knees praying because I ran out of money and saying, I need this job, God. This is what I came for. Follow the whole thing. You know, let it be so. And so it is. And I got a call the next day saying that they were going to hire me. Follow your heart. Follow your intuition. Follow the breadcrumbs. Follow the signs. You are loved more than you could possibly know. Your worth is more than you could possibly know. Each and every single one of us are divine. We're the children of God. We're all royalty. So you know, you don't need to know the CEO. You don't need to know if somebody with some bunch of money. You know God itself, and it dwells within you. And that's all that matters. And if you know that enough, I don't think there's anything in this life that it won't give to you. And I'm starting to realize that more and more myself every day. I want to thank every single one of you tonight for being here, for showing up, for being in sync with me, knowing your worth. And I hope tonight you heard something. You heard some of those gold nuggets. You heard something that made you think, that happened to me. I know it's not a coincidence now. I know I am syncing up with the universe. I'm syncing up with God. I love you guys all. I'm extremely grateful and proud of myself for being here. This is the hard thing to do, to speak in front of people, especially speak for over an hour without anybody saying anything back to you or anything. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for joining me. I'm excited about the discussion afterwards. I just want to say thank you guys all from the bottom of my heart. The divine in me sees, honors, and recognizes the divine in each and every single one of you. Namaste.